What the fuck is a reboot?
Hello and welcome back to the Clerks Minute Reboot, the show where we look back at the 2018 Kevin Smith movie, James Calabar Reboot, 5 minutes at a time. I'm Blake.
I'm Kyle, and I constantly put it on Underhill.
And we have a special guest returning, who was on the first two seasons of this show, from Random Chatter, a good friend, Eric Blythe. Eric, welcome back to the show.
Hey, it is great to be here. It's been far too long. How you guys doing?
Good. Really good, actually.
Good. As good as can be.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. How the world is today.
This podcast is it took us like a 2.5 year break between movies.
Right? So. Yeah, well, it's good that it's back now, though. This is awesome.
Yes, it is nice to be back. As we joked about it, we said this in the first episode, that our last episode was actually a live show that we did from the Wisconsin Comic Convention.
Wow.
Nobody showed up for it.
Oh, wow.
But that was our last show. We came back to do this. So, Oh, man. So that's that. I love telling that story because it sounds like we did a live show, but nobody was there.
Showed up for it. Does that make it a dead show?
Kind of.
It's more of a wife support show.
I made up for it in future podcasts I've done at Comic-Con. So
there you go. Excellent.
It was better than a live show experience that I had that he mentioned in another podcast.
Yeah, we talked about it. Well, nobody was there.
Oh no, not that. I meant that the one where he had me brought up for Marvel.
Oh yeah, that was a funny story. That was another
funny
story.
I basically made the argument that you could have removed Captain Marvel from the MCU without affecting anything, mainly because she only shows up in 50 minutes for Endgame and basically does nothing but destroy a ship and participate in intergalactic keep away.
Right. How many people did you piss off with that one?
And that really insulted a lady in the room that yelled at him.
She said I should have been stoned to death for expressing that opinion.
Isn't that kind of recreating a scene from a Kevin Smith movie almost?
It sure feels like
sounds
it,
a little Chasing Amy, doesn't it?
Oh, doesn't no, I just it? Told her I doubled down. I just went, well, you know what? You're not going to like this. Wonder Woman did it better.
Oh.
But those, as I said in the first episode, I'll go back to the Lincoln South Show live show. Wizard of World 2019 Madison, and you can hear that entire 45 minute panel we did, and that was part of it. The name of the episode is the Great Marvel Debate, so that was part of it.
Can he redeem himself in her eyes? In retrospect, she just said, "Why the fuck should I care? She just said I should be stoned to death for expressing an opinion. Fuck her."
Right. All right. So that's a little extreme. Yeah.
Let's get into where we are. So I remember a couple of years ago, I'm big with movie chatter, Eric. Mm-hmm. You said about James Salabar reboot, and I remember this phrasing that this is pretty much the best Kevin Smith fan film ever made.
I stand by that.
And what explain that statement for this audience?
Okay, so first of all, I want to make it very clear right from the beginning, when I say that Jay and Silent Bob Reboot is the best Kevin Smith fan film ever made, I mean that with love.
Okay,
I want to be very clear, I mean that with love. But you can tell that it's Kevin Smith kind of just enjoying himself making this movie. Like, this was just such a labor of love for him that he didn't care about. I mean, he cared about a plot. Yeah, there's a plot, there's a story, but it was about him just having fun and bringing back his friends and you know, celebrities he's worked with in the past and people he's made other movies with, and a way to engage the fans. And, you know, he had the contest where fans could make cameos, stuff like that. It was kind of him doing his own fan film of his own films. And I actually appreciate that. I think when I said that at first, and I did have to explain this to some people, that wasn't meant as an insult. That was meant like, I'm kind of jealous. Like, that's just freaking awesome. Who else gets to do that in Hollywood, really?
It only took him getting a heart attack. This movie made.
Right. Yeah.
Right. You know, and I guess that's part of what's cool to me. So I've always said that I'm going to go way back here. My opinions have changed, not just because of you guys, but in part because of you guys. You guys are to credit with some of this. I've not always been a fan of Kevin Smith's movies, but I have always adored Kevin Smith, like as a human being. If there's any celebrity I could get to hang out with, and I've met like, you know, Mark Hamill, a bunch of people from Star Wars, some other movies and stuff. Kevin Smith is the one guy that I would just love to just sit down and hang out with, just one human being to another. Even though if I don't like all of his movies, I love him. Now, over time, I've actually gained an appreciation for more and more of his films. I didn't used to like Clerks. Now I love Clerks. And I love this reboot. So when I say that, you know, this is such an awesome thing, this movie, you know, he had the heart attack, the issues with him being on the plane, the weight issues, which I think we're going to get to. Yeah. It just, you know, this guy's been through a lot. And he's not like a Steven Spielberg or a George Lucas, but he does okay. He's got a good career. He's got a good family. He's got a rabid fan base. Like, I'm so happy for this guy. So when I say he made a fan film and that this is the best Kevin Smith fan film ever made, I mean that from a perspective of absolute adoration for both him and for this film.
I will quickly, but you just said, ready to get me Kevin Smith. When this episode drops, we'll be about 2 weeks away from Fan Expo Chicago, where Kevin Smith will be at, and we will be in attendance as press members. So we just wanted to throw that out there that we will be there.
To talk to him, you have to tell him that I said that. You'll forget. You'll completely forget. Or you won't have an opportunity. But I'm gonna say that anyway.
Yeah. So I just want to plug that 2 weeks from now. By the way, if Fan Expo, apparently the Clerks crew doing a Fan Expo tour around the country. Yeah. So if you're not going to Chicago, look up the tour, and they're probably somewhere because they got to promote Clerks 3. So they'll be all over the place. So
that's true.
I told my wife, I'm saving whatever money I currently have for myself. And no matter what happens, even if I can't get a press credential to meet him, I'll spend the money to meet him to get a picture with him. Because I've never met Kevin Smith. I've always wanted to, never had a chance to. We met Jay Muse.
Yeah.
We met Jay Muse. We got pictures with Jay Muse.
Nice.
I've never met Kevin. So I've been looking forward to this day.
I've always been told that he is just like, he genuinely loves his fans. Like, he treats them with respect. He doesn't treat them just like a bunch of, you know, cash resources to build a career for himself. He loves his fans. And I really appreciate that about him.
What I also appreciate is this movie makes fun of himself, this movie and his fans, all in a matter of one sentence. Because we go into these minutes with one of the best, like, meta jokes. My favorite word. Yep. After all these years, what kind of broken fucks still want to watch these giant James all about bullshit anyway? And then the moment that got almost the standing ovation of the movie theater we were at, when they all look at the camera, it is the best free frame in this entire movie. Like, the best one.
Okay, seriously, we now have our episode title card.
Yeah, this is the best free frame in the entire movie.
So you have Bob sort of grimacing, Jay flipping him off, and Brody just going,
yep.
Oh, this is a level of meta not seen since the Fuller House premiere.
Yes, that's the Fuller House episode for sure.
Yeah.
I appreciate this so much. I really do.
Absolutely.
Oh man. So they also talk about the fact that there's going to be there was an auction for a cameo in the movie, which actually happened.
And how cool is that too? Like, you know, people, I'm a Star Wars fan. I have Star Wars collectibles on the shelf behind me. You know, I pay money to Lego, Hasbro, whoever else. And, you know, that gets back to Lucasfilm, blah, blah, blah. But that's just for me to have like junk sitting around my house. How cool is it for him to allow his fans to have a way where like they can not only help contribute to making the movie, but then also get to be in it?
Yeah, you had to get down to New Orleans to do it. You had to get down to New Orleans to do it, but you could be in the movie. That was a big deal.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's awesome though. Like I love that he does stuff like that. And then he talks about it in the movie and he incorporates the doing of that into the movie. I mean, talk about meta.
Yeah, this whole thing is right? meta. Because now they're just watching Kevin put out a video talking about what we were just talking about. And then Jay makes the same joke that Kevin talks about himself. He always talks about on his podcast how he has a small dick, and they bring it up here. They make the joke. I'm like, what are we doing? We're doing this joke.
Oh my God. And even better is Bob just making the little.
Yeah, it's so ridiculously meta.
Right. I love that.
So, of course, they're going to be shooting a key sequence of the movie at Chronicon. But by the way, I love the name Chronicon. It has a ridiculous con that, of course, that would be the Kevin Smith con. That would be what would
you, you kind of have to wonder why it's not real yet, right? Like, when are we actually going to see an actual literal Chronicon?
I think the only reason probably the pandemic. That might be the only reason. Because remember, this came out right before the pandemic.
That's true.
So I keep saying 2018. That's when it was filmed. 2019 when the movie came out. And then, here's the funny part. Kevin did the tour of the movie.
You're right.
He ended the tour 1 month before the lockdown.
Oh. He was that back, close, huh?
Yeah, he cut it close. His tour ended in February. And then the lockdown was in March.
Yeah.
So he talks about that. I want to talk about that. Yeah, he talked about that on, I forgot what podcast he talked about that on, but he talked about it there, how it was that close. He barely got to finish the tour before the lockdown.
Wow. I tell you what, though, we are going to get a Chronic Con at some point. Like,
oh, guarantee it. I hope so. We can go I would to totally it fly and, to it. I oh, totally yeah. fly to it.
Hell yeah.
So, I like, if they could do Broadway Con in New York and like all these other, if the movie's my mini community, could have a convention. I don't know, understand why.
Oh, God, right, it's exactly.
By the way, I love to know who the boom operator and who they told boom operator to get the boom in the face. That cracks me up. As somebody who used to be in school, that cracks me up.
That was great. And they got the timing of it just right. Like it wasn't one of those slow drops. Like it dropped just enough that he could get it two or three times in that short little video. That was well done. That was great.
The comedy is threes. Comedy is threes. They're fun.
Exactly.
I love Jay saying, but that director, in quotes.
Yeah, you call them a director. Quote unquote director. So now we're explaining the plot. Where we're going for the next like hour of this movie.
Yes, it's the exposition.
Okay, so I have to explain this joke to the audience. He says, Kevin James can't finish the movie. I have to explain this joke. So apparently this happened a lot where he would be out in public doing his jogs. Or whatever, and they get a picture, and TMZ would put King of Queens, Kevin James, in the public.
Are you serious? No way.
What happened? This legitimately happened.
They got to know who Kevin Smith is.
No, they made this mistake for a bunch of times, so now he makes fun of it. Now he makes fun of it, and the fans make fun of it now. The fans now make fun of it now.
Like, I thought it was just something he threw in the movie because it was kind of funny and stuff. I didn't. TMZ, of all people, like they're very protective of their brand.
Yeah.
Wow.
But now it's funny that Kevin and TMZ have a relationship.
That is a big ball to drop.
Now I just want to see someone Photoshop Kevin James into Smith's position making Clerks.
I almost guarantee it happened.
And then Photoshop Kevin Smith into the poster for Paul Blart.
Oh my God. Oh man. So that's why the Kevin James joke is here, because that actually happened.
Nice. I did not know that.
Yeah, that happened with TMZ. And then a bunch of people would stop him thinking they recognize him and they call him Kevin James and Kevin Smith and walking around. Like, this became a running joke unbeknownst to him. Like, this became a thing. And then they brought it up on Babylon and then the fans took it around with it.
Wow.
And all I love here, we're going to go down to Hollywood, take our names back, rescue my dick from Kevin James.
Right? I love that line. I'm like, oh my gosh, I've got to like do a sound clip of this somewhere.
I would say he kind of has a right to be irritated considering that the character is based on him. So
yeah, you brought this up to me off the air. You said you want to bring it up here.
It's you know, your toxic masculinity or something like that. I think it's more the character is based on him. So he kind of has a bit of a right to be annoyed at this.
Right. That makes sense.
Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm going to talk about this later in the movie, but the fact that it's Melissa Benoist makes me extremely happy because she's in like my top five favorite female celebrities. So I love Melissa Benoist. So I go back to Glee with her, and I'll talk about her more later when we get to.
Oh, yes.
No, I go back a long time with her, but again, I'll talk about that when
she's
we get to
her.
She's
another person that, I mean, she's a good actress, and then she's also just a good person, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but we can't get out of the sash without them all doing a little sing along for no real reason. Yeah. There's no reason for this.
They wound up all three of them and just let them go.
Yes.
And that's the thing too. Like, where else are you going to get a movie where the studio or the EPs or whoever are going to be okay with having that many frames of just useless, trivial nonsense that has nothing to do to the contribution of the plot? I mean, they get, when film editors go in and edit a film, they like cut right down to the individual frames, you know, 30, well, you know, 25, 30 frames a second. That's what's that?
What helps, Eric? Kevin Smith edits this movie.
There you go. But he edited this movie. That just shows how much this was just fun and a labor of love for him. He's just like, ah, screw it.
If I remember from Clerks 2, we talked about this on Clerks 2, and this is here. He had an editing bay and he had a room. He rents out one room on his, he rents out the hotel for all of his, all, everybody on the crew. He rents out a hotel for everybody, but he has one room with an editing bay in it.
And I heard that,
Out the movie, he'll edit the movie.
Yeah.
As they're done. So we can show them dailies the next day of what they filmed the day before.
That's which is awesome, they would because like, as an actor, that's got to be rewarding to be able to actually see, you know, what you're doing as you go along instead of at the end or at the premiere or some crap like that, right?
Exactly. And it's actually in the behind the scenes documentary is on Amazon Prime, which is definitely a must watch if people haven't seen it. It's a fantastic documentary. Now, I didn't realize it was free on Amazon Prime until we got Amazon Prime Video. So I'm like, oh, sweet, it's free. I can watch this now. I don't have to pay for it. I can watch this.
Nice.
And just to answer your question there, you know, how many people could, how many studios or whatever could basically go that long with just useless frames? Well, I would say, well, not a studio, but a director, Gus Van Sant, at least if Jerry is anything to be go by.
Okay.
And Blumhouse, if Black Christmas 2019 is anything to go by.
I haven't seen Black Christmas yet. I've got it in my queue. I haven't watched it. Is it good or bad?
It's one of those where it's incredibly freaking ambitious, even to the people who actually would support this. It's
okay.
Oh God,
Eric, this is the third time he's talking about how bad the movie is. This is the third time.
Is it one of those movies where it's so bad that it's enjoyable?
No, it's so bad that it's preachy and annoying.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe I'll skip it then.
Yeah. We've done five episodes of the show so far, and he's brought the movie up three times. How bad it is!
That's a pretty damning review.
Beautifully, it's like a Twitter conversation made into a movie.
Ouch. Oh my gosh!
Ouch! Yeah. Ouch!
That's harsh.
Yeah.
Damn.
Wow.
Basically, it's like a God's Not Dead for the political left wing.
Oh wow! Okay. Yeah, I'll take that off my queue then.
Yeah.
Wow,
that's bad.
Yeah.
So we get to the airport. So I'm having my issues in this movie because this movie is filmed in New Orleans. It's supposed to be based in New Jersey. This is not Newark Airport.
Noticed that right out of the gate. I'm like, okay, did they intentionally go with something like dinky as a joke?
But no, because like the mall they go to, they claim it's in Jersey. It's actually in Louisiana.
Okay.
Even though you could have easily got a pickup shot of like the Garden State Plaza they brought up in that episode, you could easily got a pickup shot real fast. Right. But they didn't do that. They shot a mall in Louisiana and claimed it was in New Jersey. Yeah. So completely license plates and everything. Like they claimed it was in Jersey.
Right.
So this is obviously not Newark Airport. Like I know Newark Airport at the back of my hand. This is not Newark Airport.
Clearly, yeah.
Place that would sell oats by the scoop.
I'm going to assume we're at the airport in New Orleans. I don't know the name of the airline in New Orleans, but I'm going to assume it's where we are. I'm just going to assume that.
Even then, it looked like, I mean, how often do you, maybe I'm spoiled on bigger airports, but how often do you go into an airport in a highly populated area and the ticket counter is that close to the actual doors?
The one here isn't that bad. The one here in Milwaukee is pretty close, actually.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, it's right. You walk in and it's right there.
But you don't have to go through like the little cattle gates.
Well, there is, but it depends on which airline you want to go to.
Okay.
Like, but you walk in and it is right there. If there's no line, you can go right up.
Okay.
So, we flew to Orlando. We walked in. We just got in line. It was right there. We paid for the door, then to open up the gate, and we were right there. So it was easy. So it wasn't that bad. I mean, it's pretty simple at our airport. So it's not that common.
Hopefully, not many people try paying with coins.
Oh, yeah. Sure. So, let's get into this.
And of course, the generic Southwest.
Maybe that's why the line was so short.
Yeah.
Southwest Airline. Obviously, a take on Ant. But they take on Southwest Airlines. You can obviously see where this is going.
Southwest Airlines. We're the asylum of airlines.
So obviously we're making fun of Southwest. You knew this was going to happen. You knew somewhere in this movie he was going to find a way to make fun of Southwest Airlines. Yeah. Like, you had to know this was going to happen going in.
I mean, they kind of earned it.
Yeah, I was like, and y'all, what kind of Jersey accent is that?
The problem is, I have the subtitles on, and Kyle decides he wants to read the subtitles every time we get to a scene. I just want to clarify to people what's going on here. So stop doing that. I'm calling you out on it because you keep doing that.
South Jersey accent.
Yeah.
You know. So yeah, the South Jersey. Okay, I laugh at this because my dad is from South Jersey. Yeah. I laugh at this joke. But half of my family lived in South Jersey, so that's funny to me. So they want two tickets to Hollywood. Fine, I can go with that. Yeah. I'll go with this. It's last minute travel, but whatever. It's not that far fetched. Yeah. Whatever. I see this all the time. He's working at an airport, so I get this. You know, I'm completely decent. So she says it's $337 a piece. Maybe it's a last minute price. Yeah. I can go with that. I did my notes. Yeah. I did some research today. So I decided at time of recording, what would the flight out of Jersey be to Hollywood? I was curious. Yeah. And they're not that far off.
Oh, really?
They're not that far off. It's actually maybe because it's lower. It was off Expedia, so I'd be a little lower. But it was $299 one way on United Airlines.
Tomorrow.
Coach?
There's no coach on United. Okay. There's no coach on United, but it's $299 one way and a 444 round trip. So this is not that far fetched.
Okay.
For a price.
Let's guess. It's $337 because
37. Yeah. Obviously, we're going for 37. I get the joke you're doing. This is the third time we've done this joke now.
Third time we've done this joke at this point. It's not my fault. It's not my fault. It keeps popping up.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I'm with you. Yeah. But,
sort of like the MSRP for those Clerks in Action figures was
$11.37. True. So, yes, it's true, but I did want to just do my due diligence as an MMX host and do my research on this.
That's good. I thought they were lowballing or something. That's not too bad. I know the pandemic's affected, you know, flight prices and stuff, but that's not bad.
I mean, when I flew out to Florida, it wasn't an arm of leg to get to Orlando. We flew out there over the summer.
So I got to get tickets to go out to Anaheim here pretty soon for the Star Wars convention.
Star Wars Celebration soon.
Yeah, I got to start looking for tickets.
I know we went to Disney World back in June.
Yeah.
So I got to go to Galaxy's Edge.
Nice. Did you like it?
I liked it. It was. I want to say I loved it, but I'm not going to lie because my wife wasn't totally into it. And my son was really hot. So it got really hot. But the cool thing is for us, we got on Rise of Resistance quickly.
Good.
We got on really fast. And it was when we had to do get up in the morning and you sign up in your hotel room and you hope you get the thing. We were able to sign up immediately. We got in immediately. And my wife got us past the three of us and we were in by 9:30, 10 o'clock.
Really?
Yeah. Well,
that's not bad at all.
Yeah. And my son got a lightsaber that morning. Yeah. We got to do both rides. Like, we had to do everything in there. By the way, Rise is fantastic. It is absolutely fantastic.
That's awesome.
But I'm going to pause for 1 second. I have to go up them downstairs. Give me 1 second.
Sure.
All righty.
I tell you what, that's one thing I can't wait after the pandemic is they start bringing conventions and stuff back.
Oh, yeah.
I miss that.
The last convention I went to was Ponyville Cider Fest last year.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Very good. Very good. Very, very nice. It's kind of like my whole, maybe humanity isn't screwed recharge for a year.
Right. That's the thing. Like last year, a lot of them just didn't happen. Even the Star Wars one now, this is one that's rescheduled. And a lot of people are kind of like, do I buy tickets in hotels? Yeah. Like, is it going to get canceled again at the last minute? What do I do?
Well, the year before they had to hold online. So.
Yeah. Which is never the same. I mean, even the Comic-Con stuff, you know, there have been some decent panels, I guess, to watch on YouTube and stuff, but it's not, you know, it's the experience of being there physically with other people who have the same interests you do.
Yeah.
And that shared experience with other fans. I mean, yeah, sometimes the crowds are, you know, crowded, but and you know, you meet up with fans and you go and you do the things, you're in the same room with the people doing the panels. You know, you've got the cosplayers, you've got the shopping, you're away from your house. I spend enough time on my living room couch.
Yeah.
When I'm doing a convention, I don't want to do it from my living room couch. I want to do it anywhere but my living room couch.
Same here.
All right, I'm back. Oh, sorry about that. My son lost his blanket, and it was ended up being in his room behind his bed. He didn't move the bed out. It was right there.
Well, that's good.
Problem was, I woke him up this morning, and so I was like, he's tracing his steps from when I woke him up this morning. So I'm like, it's got to be in your room. So I moved his bed out, and it was right there. It was right there.
See, dads are smart.
He found it. So that's why I had it right off to do. All right.
Dads are smart, despite what sitcoms would have you think.
Yeah.
So, all right. So where were we? Oh, yeah. We're at the fuck you money. We're at the change.
I love that.
This is ridiculous. Like, this is, I worked at an airline for years. This would not be allowed to happen. Like, yeah. There's no way this would be allowed. Like, at any level. Like,
coins. Just $337 each with coins.
No. With coins. It is one of the most ridiculous jokes. Like, why are we doing this joke? Like, it's so dumb. It's dumb even for them.
Yeah. On the upside, at least it's not entirely pennies.
True. That is very, very true.
Yeah. There were some bills in there, I think.
Yeah.
So, by the way, when they got in line, there was nobody in this line, and now there's a long line of people behind them.
Yeah. Right.
So, what are they thinking? With these two people that look like morons just dump change onto the in front of the
we got out of the can for this.
Right. So she asked for their names, and this is where Jay is so dumb. As we joked about we joked about this. All they have to do is say they're Jason and Robert. That's literally all they have to do.
That's it.
And move on, and nobody would question you. But no, he has to have the most made up things ever. Don Juan Delanouche. What the fuck? And what was the other one?
Senor Roberto Silencio.
Silencio. Yes. So bad. That's close. That's close.
So bad.
You know what, it wouldn't be Jason Mewes if it weren't that.
Yeah.
We wouldn't believe it otherwise. So he has to come up with some dumb thing like that.
It's all good.
At least either one of them came up with Rico Suave.
I do love the fact that she calls it out. And she's not that dumb, but she calls it out on it. Like, right.
Okay, like, I appreciate like made up fake names. We'll go with Jay and Silent Bob, which also sound like made up fake names.
So then we didn't get it wrong with the Kevin James jokes. What the fuck? She doesn't care. She does not care about your lies. You don't even know what the fuck you're talking about. And you sound dumb. You sound dumber explaining it.
My thoughts about this are, unless you're Steve Martin and it begins with, I was born a poor black child, I don't give a damn about your life story.
Right. Pretty much. And I tell you what, if you're standing behind a counter, you don't care about anybody's story.
No, I had friends that did this job. They do not give a fuck. They do not care.
Where are you going to? Where's your ID? Have a nice trip. Next.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So she does look up Jay and Silent Bob. And this is where the jokes, this is where it gets a little bit ridiculous, but I do like where they go with this.
Yeah.
I do appreciate where they go with this because you knew they had to make this joke. They had to do this joke. And there is a weight problem.
And I just love the musical sting that comes with
right.
this.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
So I'm going to pause a second. For those who don't remember, who don't remember what happened here, Kevin Smith got taken off a plane because he was too big. And him and another, by the way, missing in this story, he wasn't the only one. Him and a lady both got kicked off a plane. They were on the same plane, and they were in two different rows, and they both got kicked off because they were big people. So it was obviously concentrated on Kevin because Kevin's a celebrity. And then he went on Twitter and lambasted Southwest on Twitter. That's how I found out about it.
There's more too, because wasn't it his wife was going to go with him that flight? And then she decided not to go. She had something else happen. So he had a spare seat next to him.
Yeah, he had two. No, actually, no, but he explained it on his podcast. At this time, he always bought two seats. He always bought two seats for himself.
True.
Because he just wanted to make sure he had the room, and he didn't want to be that guy, that fat guy that has to be next to him that felt uncomfortable.
Right. So there a third seat for his wife? Because I remember his wife was going to go, and she, okay.
Yeah, so she canceled her ticket, but still had an extra seat next to him because he didn't want to be that fat guy.
Right.
I respect it.
Yeah.
When you have the money to do it, I don't blame you for doing that. If you have the money to do it, do it. And if it was one of those things where he didn't have trouble putting the seatbelt on. This all explained that it's not, because I'm about to look this podcast episode up in the profile, because if it's even available on the archive, it might be on the Kevin Smith Club site. It might be on the that Kevin Smith Club paywall now. But
you can search Google for it. He's talked about it several times, and with good reason. The whole story is
got out of hand quickly.
It got out of hand
really fast, because he went on Twitter and lambasted them. And I don't blame him at the time. I don't blame them. But the problem was, everybody ran with this. Not just TMZ. Everybody ran with this. And I found out on Twitter, because I remember that night there was a wrestling show on. So I'd happened to be on Twitter live tweeting with the show. And then I'm reading Kevin Smith tweets coming up. And I'm like, what's going on? So I have to go and read this and see what's happening. And I'm like, wow, this is all fucked up. This is completely fucked up. There are two podcast episodes about this. There's the one he explains his story, and then he brought the lady on that also got kicked off.
Yeah. Oh, really?
He brought her on too.
Oh,
so that he had her entire story on an episode as well. So nice. That was interesting.
You know, you can't expect. So first of all, if you look at the demographic of people within the United States who are of the age to fly, you know, like as in like not children, we've been getting heavier and heavier over the generations. I mean, I've lost weight, but I used to be up to 350 pounds. And even after having lost quite a bit of that, I still don't. This is the slimmest I've been in my adult life, and I still have a hard time fitting into airplane seats. It's just you're packed like sardines in there. You pay crazy amounts of money. You show up 2 hours early. You go through security. Somebody made the joke once that you're robbing yourself. You're setting yourself up to be robbed because they're going through all of your stuff. They're patting down your body, etc. You're getting X-rayed so they can see your internal organs. And then you go sit and can't, like, I'm surprised people can breathe because your chest has to expand when you take a breath. And there's just no room in these planes as it is. Then on top of that, he fit just fine. There was nobody in the seat next to him. His seatbelt fastened.
He didn't need
just fine. Met all of the extender. Safety. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It blows my mind. It's like, if this is that much of a problem, fix your freaking airplanes, for one thing.
You know what? I'll give one airline credit. I'm going to give one airline a lot of credit. And it's Delta.
Oh, I love Delta.
I love Delta. Yes. I flew them to Disney. That was the most comfortable flight I've had in years.
If I can make it, I only fly Delta.
Yeah, I love Delta now. Like we flew there, and that was comfortable. They were really nice. They were awesome. They treated CJ with full respect. Like that was a fantastic flight. Like,
I mean, not really perfect, but of all the airlines, I think that they are the best experience.
And also, they respect the people. They're tall, and they're big people. Like, that was the loosest I've ever had my seatbelt in my life. Yeah. Like, I never had a loose seatbelt before on a plane. I'm like, these are loose. Like, that was nice. Like, it was a nice refreshing change of pace.
Yep. So, and I'm tall, so having that extra, like, being able to, I have to pay a little bit extra, but having some of the seats where you can get that extra 6 inches of legroom or whatever it is, it makes a difference.
I understand.
It's like It's like being seated at a stadium.
I mean, no, I got to give credit where it's due, and I always complained about this at the Continental Airlines Arena, where I love the Continental Arena. I have so many. Well, now it's the Izod Center. Now it's closed, actually. Now if I'm thinking about it, now it's closed. Mm. But I have so many memories at the Continental Airlines Arena, the Devils fan. Been there so many times. Their seats were terrible. Awful.
Yeah.
It's kind of like the people complain about, you know, man spreading and that. I'm sorry. It's like, it's just basically, it's a lot of these people complain about it. Imagine having your ovaries right between your legs and basically outside and try keeping your legs together. Also, I'm a big guy. I need the leg room.
Well, that's the other thing. There's physics involved too, right? So at the length of, from my hip bone out to my knee on my thigh is X number of inches, and the distance available is X minus 10.
Yeah.
I mean, it's physics.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The legs have to go somewhere. Yeah. So I sympathize with, you know, why it can be a problem, but then the seats are the root cause of the problem. Not the people.
Exactly. And I never flew a Southwest flight, but I know they were the airline next to us when I used to work at Frontier.
Yeah.
So, like, we made fun of them a lot because of their commercials. Yeah. Like, we made fun of their commercials all the time.
They're not great.
The commercials were terrible, but funny. They were funny. They were bad. They, at the time, especially because they just came into Milwaukee, so they just came next door to us. Yeah. So, like, they were the new airline in town at the time, and, like, everyone was flying them, so we started giving them shit because they were next door to us. I had a lot of fun with them. but like I never expected this situation to happen.
Yeah. it was just crazy. And I'm kind of glad it did, because I think it's important. I'm sorry he had to go through that. But number one, I think that it's important to bring light to this issue, because it's a freaking issue. People travel constantly for business or to see family or whatever. And it's just, it's almost not healthy.
Yeah, true.
No?
Yeah.
Medically speaking, like just the way you're crammed in, you can't move, you can't do, it's insane, number one. And number two, of all the people for it to happen to, it happened to somebody who could speak up, get his voice heard, whose fans would also speak up on his behalf. That made the rounds fast. Like the airline was responding quickly. Even
this was like when now when something happens on Twitter, you know, in seconds. This is before that. This is before it became
Twitter was
like,
popular, but it was not to the level it is currently.
Yeah, exactly. I can't think of the word looking for trend. It wasn't a big trending topic. It wasn't something like that took off. I can't think of the word I'm thinking of right now.
It had become the cesspool that it is right
now. That's not the word I'm looking for. Cesspool, true. That's not what I'm looking for, though. I was thinking of
the water was just becoming dirty. It wasn't just sludge yet.
Yeah exactly. Yeah. I always joke about Twitter. I joke about this all the time. I love Twitter because I communicate with a lot of people. I've met a lot of good people on my podcast. Yeah. A lot of my podcast friends I met through Twitter. But as an app, a lot of people can go shove it up their asses because I hate them. Yeah. I hate wrestling Twitter, and I'm a wrestling. I wrote the wrestling podcast, and I hate wrestling Twitter.
I tell you what. We would be doing better marketing our podcast right now if I were more active on Twitter. I'll admit it. But I have grown to learn to dislike Twitter. I just give up. I'm like, you know what? I'm done. And I'm so much happier now.
I use Twitter for a couple of reasons. I go there because I have some friends that I contact through there. Sure. And like, I have to post a show up through there. Post up there. And that's one of the main reasons. And a lot of times I get photos during wrestling shows, like live photos from Twitter. Right. I'll get my live photos from there and post up. Yeah. I get them a lot of times from there. But other than that, I'm not on there much. Like hockey Twitter is great. Like I like hockey Twitter because like it's mostly reporters and people like that, because the people that actually go on there for the right reasons. Right. Actually, you know.
Yeah. Talk about as long as you can sift through all the noise and get to what it is you want, Twitter's
exactly.
Wonderful.
But wrestling Twitter is a trash fire.
I deleted my Facebook app from my phone because political
issues.
Not only that, but it was after the protests there and basically everybody on both sides getting so freaking ugly.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
I agree. I just decided, you know what, fuck it.
I don't need that kind of toxicity in my life anymore. Yeah. You know,
I have to have my Facebook mainly because of my family in Jersey. I have to have my Facebook because of that.
Yeah, and that's the thing. You know, I've got family members too. I don't use the app though. Like I have my Oculus Quest VR headset, which is, you know, that's owned by Facebook now. Yeah. And that's the only way I'm actively using any Facebook service right now. Yeah. Like every now and then, if somebody messages me on Facebook, I get a notification. But
yeah, I'm more of an Instagram person. I do like Instagram. I like photos. I'm a photo person. I'm also a photo person. So that makes sense for me why I would love Instagram so much. So like, that's my place I go to all the time. Like that's my app. Like I joke with Sal all the time that like he goes to Facebook for his memes and everything. I get him off Twitter. I get him on Instagram. And I don't have to read the comment sections then. I can just go through and have my fun and not go through the comment section.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, speaking of apps, back to the show.
Let's get back to things before we get to that.
I love this app. We need an app actually named this.
Yeah, I'll get to that, but I have to do one reference. Use references. First they're talking about he's still too fat to fly, which is fantastic.
And even better Bob. Look, Bob has this look on his face like he just witnessed the bombing of Dresden.
Yes.
Right.
But then he goes and says, are you fucking blind like Anne Frank? Which is a great callback to Clerks 2. They call that Clerks 2, it's such a stupid joke because what? That makes no sense. No sense.
Excuse me, I'm going to go read that really popular book, The Diary of Helen Keller.
Yeah,
right. Exactly.
This is the first reference we have to Kevin Smith being vegan. We have to bring that up in here. As I learned, the other thing I've learned from wrestling and social media, once you go vegan, you always talk about it. You always talk about it. There's a reason why I don't follow Austin Aries on Instagram anymore. Because I got so sick and tired of hearing him talk about being vegan. I'm so sick and tired of it.
Hey, you want to know how you can figure out somebody's vegan? give them a moment. They'll actually speak up about it.
Mm-hmm. There are certain people I can respect it because you went for a certain reason, for a health reason, like Kevin did. He went health reasons.
Yeah.
Or like Daniel Bryan. He loves Bryan Danielson is one of the hit wrestlers of all time. And he went vegan, man, because he has a freaking bomb farm in his back and he makes his, he grows his old veggies. So fine. If that's what you did, okay. Good for you. Good for you. Yeah. Like, I respect that. That kind of stuff I respect. I hate the heel that are pompous about it.
Yeah. I can't stand. You know, it's very clear they just went that way just to lord it over everybody's heads.
Well, they had a reason for it, but now they're being pompous about it.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and so really that's the thing, right? Because some people are pompous about it, and other people maybe they just overshare and don't have an attitude. But I also don't like, you know, carnivores like myself who also post what they had for lunch because I don't care what you had for lunch. Like, I hope you enjoyed your lunch, but I don't care what it is. So
my pet peeve, I joke with her all the time on Snapchat that has to post every fucking meal she eats. And it's a pet peeve of mine. Why do you do that?
Like, nobody cares. Like, if you're going to keep it for yourself, keep it in your photo album or something. That's great. But like the rest of the world doesn't need to know.
Yeah, I hate it. It's my favorite thing.
The only time I ever want to see what somebody's eating is that little title card at the end of Everybody Loves Raymond.
True. And like if you're doing like fancy shit, like fancy chef stuff, and you want to put that up, that's different. Like if you're proud of something, right. That's completely different. I understand.
Because there's an accomplishment involved, or there's something that's special out of the ordinary.
Or not if I went to a diner and ordered fries, I don't want to see that.
Or if it's accompanied by a recipe,
yeah, that's different. Like that, I understand. Sure.
Because then it's informative.
Yeah.
So, class, Jay does say I used to call him lunchbox. Now I call him snack pack.
Great joke. He comes in a pack of six.
I look back. We have to like reference all these jokes from early movies because he goes and says I used to say fly fat ass fly. Now I have to call fly low fat ass fly. Right. It doesn't even make sense. There's no idiot there.
I think it would have made more sense if it was like fly fat free ass fly.
Like there's some other idiot there. I can't think of it.
Low fat was what they used to put on all of the dietary foods back in the 90s and stuff. So,
yeah.
I think, you know, older people probably get it, which then makes me feel old.
Yeah,
I know. Trust me. There are some jokes in this movie that did make me feel old.
I do love the weight problem is just weight problem.
I know. So stupid. So dumb. Problem is they can't fly. Why can't they fly? Well, apparently they're on the no-fly list. Which, why the fuck are they on the no-fly list? That's the question.
And it's helpfully illustrated in big red letters on the screen.
I feel like I'm watching a children's program.
It can't get dumber than Dora.
Oh, man. But it's just like they're doing children's jokes now. Like that's what they're doing here in the middle of a Jason Bob movie. That's what we're doing. So then we get to... I have to rewatch this again because I got to speed through when I was going through the notes during my minutes to this. I wanted to rewatch more fresh when we went through this. But they talk about how there's a terrorist organization called the Clit. So they can make Clit jokes. There's no other reason why it's in here.
Isn't that from Jay and Bob Strike Back?
I think you're right.
I think it is. Yeah, because wasn't that the name of the organization?
The Clit's not real, says every guy ever made.
I love that.
Yep. It's really there just to make those jokes again because we can. We can make those jokes again.
No, I just realized you never brought up who's playing Jolene.
Oh yeah, you're right. I completely forgot. Molly Shannon.
Yes. Molly Shannon. And she did it very well.
Yeah. We do have to bring it up because she isn't, but this is her first Kevin Smith US Cube movie. It's very important to note that. But yeah, Molly Shannon. Oh, yeah,
she's best known for SNL and Superstar.
Mm-hmm. Superstar. Yes,
I can't stand that bit, but I know it.
Yep.
Well, that kind of describes about 85% of Saturday Night Live now, doesn't it?
At times.
Yeah. And she's had a lot of other roles, too, just not really anything where she was, nothing that comes to mind anyway, where she was the lead. Yeah. But she's had a lot of appearances in stuff over the years.
Yeah. But you know who she is. Like, she has that face for you know who she is, but you don't know why.
She's older, like, she's aged, but you can still tell that's Molly Shannon.
It's like she's aged, but she hasn't aged too much.
No, not at all.
Right. Yeah.
Age gracefully. I think I threw it exactly. For age gracefully.
Yeah. Very gracefully. Yeah.
So then we get to the app that Eric pointed out, the Ride Me Now.
Ride Me Now.
Ride Me Now. Which I love that joke because it's such a dirty joke. Mm-hmm. And, And then we have the app, Ride Me Now, which I love the logo for the Ride Me Now. It's such a great logo.
Right?
That's an amazing logo.
And just think, like, if we had this for real, it could be both a transportation app and a dating app, right?
Yes. Perfect.
It's perfect.
It's going to say Tinder Uber.
Yeah. Oh my God.
I'm looking at this. It's so bad. Like, it's such a hysterical logo. Why would you make this logo for this? But it works so well because it's a movie.
Oh God, it sounds like something out of a porno. Well, you can pay with cash, card, or ass.
That is the plot of. That sounds like the plot of a lot of pornos now. That sounds like the plot. Mm-hmm. Go on porno. There's probably a plot like that right now.
Yeah, they're working on an app for renting out motorcycles. It's called Ride Me Sideways.
Okay, so you explain the app, and I love Bob. Like, yes, I get it now. Now I understand. So pretty much, what we're getting at this is it's Uber. It's Uber,
right?
It's Uber, but they can't hit Uber. So they went with a joke. It was cheaper to do this joke than it was to pay Uber for the licensing.
Definitely.
And let's be honest, if they had done Uber, they would have probably made the guy a lot creepier.
This is true.
Yeah, they'd have to, or it wouldn't be believable.
No, you're absolutely right.
Yeah. Hey. Helps.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
be like taking a ride with the killer from Maniac.
I want to make a note. I like to make a note that Kyle has massive issues with Uber in general. So I have massive issues with it. So
I've managed to avoid it for the most part. I've used it once in Orlando and it wasn't bad, but I haven't used to be on that because of all of the horror stories.
Yeah, I've never used Uber ever. And it was the first time I was in Orlando. It was the first time we ever did like Uber Eats. That was the first time we ever did that. Like, we never did.
Okay.
If we're here, we don't need to. When we're in local, what's the point? And we drive everywhere.
Right.
We didn't have a car down there, you know, but like we did the Musical Express, obviously, to get back and forth to the airport. But when we were at the hotel, we needed to order some stuff. We did like an Uber Eats. That was the first time we ever did that.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I can imagine the Uber driver. Okay, you guys sit on the skin seats.
I, of course, Jay has to end this with "Fuck your planes, Jolene."
Right,
and Molly,
and then she responds in the way that I imagine a lot of people who work at the airport would go respond.
Probably the best you should do is fire clerks since planes, trains, and automobiles.
Mm-hmm. So that's where we end this thing. So we find out that this app needs a credit card. And I would not surprise me whatsoever that Jay and Bob do not have a credit card. Yeah. This does not surprise me at all. It might be the most believable thing we've had in the first 20 minutes of this movie.
You mean aside from the clits not real?
Well, that's small. It is. So you just don't know. So enter Penn Underhill, who is played by one Ralph Garman.
And a bit of trivia, it's a reference to Kevin's favorite movie, Fletch. Which Chevy Chase's character does wind up hijacking the credit card of a guy named Ted Underhill.
There you go,
It does get a reference in the sequel when he uses it to enter a building and he says, "Over the years, I had found Mr. Underhill's credit card to be a very useful tool, much like Mr. Underhill himself."
There you go.
Oh, wow, that's a deep dive. I have not seen the Fletch movies probably since I was a kid.
Okay, there you go. Yeah. This is why Kyle's a fantastic co-host. He just pulled that out without notes.
Impressive.
that was me and my uncle's favorite movie to watch together.
Those are good movies.
Running gag.
But sometimes I just like to note to the people listening that Kyle does not have notes. He sits here without notes and talks about this stuff. So I have notes for my own. He never comes with notes. So I just want to note that. But anyway, Ralph Garman. I want to bring up Ralph Garman. Better known as Ralph Garman from Hollywood Babylon. At the time when they started Hollywood Babylon, he was actually doing radio in LA, and that's where Kevin met him. And they started doing entertainment stuff on his radio show, but they were doing too long, and they didn't want them to go as long for their bits as they were going. And so Kevin, this is at the time where Kevin opened Spotcast in LA, and he said, "Well, why don't we go to my podcast place and we can do a show?" So then they started Hollywood Babylon at Mod Castle. And it became so popular that they sold out the building so fast, they moved to the John Lovitz podcast theater and sold that out like crazy. And then they had to move out of there because them and John Lovitz got into a big like fight over money.
Oh, really?
So they left the John Lovitz. They went to the Improv. They're at the Improv. until the pandemic hit, and now they can't get their late night time slot anymore. They're like prime time slot anymore because they don't want podcasting in the prime Saturday night time slots anymore. They have changed locations now again to a new place I can't think of right now off the top of my head.
Well, it's best to leave John Lovitz alone. You don't want to get into a fight with him, as Andy Dick found out.
True. But John Lovitz was great
that
for them.
That sounds like another story I need to look up.
Andy Dick pisses everybody off, though.
Like, there's not a human being that hasn't been in a fight with Andy Dick somehow.
There's not a human being that lives up to their last name as much as Andy Dick.
True.
He wound up coming up to Lovitz in a bar, and he knew full well that Phil Hartman was his best friend.
Oh, no.
And he said, "I put the Phil Hartman hex on you. You're going to be the next to die." To which Lovitz grabbed him by the back. And slammed him into the bar repeatedly.
Not surprising.
Yeah.
Wow.
John Lovitz speaks for all of us. If I ever meet that guy, I want to buy him a drink and shake his hand.
But So Ralph and Kevin are now really close friends. They're now really close. They actually do, during the pandemic, they started a show on the Kevin Smith fan side called Give Me Headlines, which is pretty much our headline segment from Babylon, because they couldn't do the show. So they did a headline show on the pay side for Kevin. Ralph lost his radio job somewhere around 2019 because they cut his sole position. They cut it. So he no longer needed an entertainment beat person. So then he now does his own Patreon show called The Ralph Report, which is a 5-day-a-week show that you can go pay for. It's actually, I've listened to it a little bit of it. It's not my thing personally, but it's a good show. If you're like him, it's a good show. I tried at the beginning and it wasn't my personal favorite, but it's there.
Okay.
He has, of course, been in now Kevin Smith movies. He was in Jay and Silent Bob's Super Groovy cartoon movie. He was in Tusk, famously in Tusk with no lines because he gave Kevin shit for that on Babylon ever since the movie came out. He then put him in Yoga Hosers and gave him one line.
There you go.
So
nice. That's some vengeance there.
And so now he obviously is in Reboot with an entire pretty much monologue to make up the difference. But that was he literally threw him in Yoga Hosers to make fun of the fact he put him in Clerk in Tuska's one line and gave him one line in Yoga Hosers.
Nice. Yeah, two things. When I first saw this, I thought for some reason this was Eric Stone Street. And number two, he really does a great job at making you want to beat the lever-loving crap out of him.
Yeah, Ralph Garman is an actor. Yes. He actually does. I forgot off the top of my head. Like, he does a whole bunch of other stuff. Like, he's in the Ted movies. Yeah. He also He's in the Lego Batman movie. Yeah. He did some stuff for like Celebrity Deathmatch.
Sharktopus.
He did a bunch of stuff. Like, he does a bunch of things like that all the time.
Hey, any guy who worked for Roger Corman is okay by me.
He also is the reason.
There you go. He's very expressive. I liked how quickly you kind of just wanted to punch the guy. Like, you know nothing about him, but just his demeanor and the way he portrayed that was just so over the top and immediately just jerkish.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, okay, yeah, I don't feel that bad about his credit card number being stolen now.
What's funny is that he's in the movie for 45 seconds. Yeah. 45 seconds he's in this movie, and he is memorable. Like, this whole scene is memorable. Like, and he pays off for the rest of the movie. This 45-second scene pays off for the rest of the movie.
And the great thing, too, is that scene worked because it happens in real life. Like, I've seen people, I've watched people do that for real.
I believe it.
It's just like, that's exactly what Jay and Silent Bob would do in that situation. It's like, it's perfect.
Exactly.
It flowed so well.
Exactly. It works. Oh, I forgot one thing on Ralph Garman. I forgot one thing. Yeah. He is the reason why Adam West has a star on the Walk of Fame.
Oh, snap.
Ralph Garman helped raise the money to get Adam West his star before Adam West passed away.
Nice.
And then him and Adam West actually became really, really close, really close friends. Good. So when Adam West died, Ralph actually was crying on Babylon talking about it. That's how close they became.
Not all heroes wear capes.
Yeah. So I just forgot about that little detail with Ralph. That was a big deal for him.
That's awesome. Matter
of fact, I don't know. I forgot what special it was where they actually, they did a, I forgot what show it was, but they went to his house to show his Batman collection.
Nice.
I forgot what show that was. Yeah, I forgot what show it was they did that for. Like, I remember them talking about it on Babylon. I forgot what show it was on, though. I remember seeing it and remember what show it was. I know it wasn't the toy that made us. There was some other show they did. But you're right. This is totally something that would legitimately happen. This is the most real portion of this movie so far in the first 20 minutes. Because it's exactly what would happen. 100%. Exactly. Eric, you're 100% right.
I've literally seen it happen. So, and for Jay and Silent Bob, who don't have a credit card, don't have the funds, if they did have credit cards, to actually get across the country, this explains, like, you just knocked out an entire piece of the puzzle of, like, how do they get to Hollywood from there? They have no money. They can't fly. Boom. Click. You know, exactly. A few seconds, their entire trip is paid for, and you know exactly why, and you can get on with the rest of the movie. Yeah. It was brilliant writing.
Exactly. And the best part is that Kevin gets to work with one of his best friends while doing it.
Right, which just goes back to my original point. Like, this was just, I feel good on his behalf for the amount of fun he must have had making this movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So awesome. And the fact that they get to make fun of Ralph being over the top at the scene too. They need to make fun of it. Mm, they have to have fun with it.
Right.
And of course, like you said, it is the massive plot point that gets us through the rest of the next, like, 45 minutes of this movie.
Not only a nice plot point, but a nice bit of karma too.
Yes.
Exactly.
Very, very, very true. And that is where we end our minutes.
And also a very, very important lesson. Never, ever, ever, ever give out your credit card information in public.
Over the phone while yelling loudly.
Yeah.
Right. Yep.
Well, the fact that we have to say that is even funnier. That you have to tell people that. Like,
we have to tell people not to eat Tide Pods. Why are you surprised?
Well, this is valid. Yeah, that's true. You know, and the funny thing is, the one time I've seen repeatedly people give out their credit cards is when they're ordering food and they're calling it in. And that's the one time people don't even think, oh, yeah, my number is 4298, blah, 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 blah. And they'll just sit there and read it. They won't even think about who's standing around them. And they won't do it for anything else. But if they're ordering food over the phone, they do it every time.
That's why the only time I ever do it, I'm at home.
Or you do it online through the app. You go through an app and do it.
And everybody has that now, for the most part, unless it's like a mom and pop place or something. But yeah.
But even then, you can at least, like, call. You do it over the phone at home. You do it at home, like Kyle said.
You step out of the room or something. Yeah.
Yeah, you don't do it in public like that. Like, it's so bad.
Go
like,
to the can and do it.
Yeah, exactly. Ironically, I think you're right by a bathroom. I think that's the funny part. They're right by a bathroom.
Yeah. He's too important for the bathroom.
Very, very true. By the way, I do appreciate them cutting the scene off without writing any more numbers, because you know there'll be some assholes out there writing numbers.
Oh, yeah. I remember it of 9, 5, 8, 4, and then it cuts.
Exactly.
There'll be some
people out there. They'll write it down and keep going.
Run with it. Yep.
It's like in a TV show where they say a phone number and they set it up like, what?
555.
Yeah. Well, not even that. What was it? Oh, wow. Oh, it was Scrubs. It was on Scrubs. They did it. They had a show. They gave Turk a phone number.
Yeah.
It was money. It was something. Whatever the error code was called, Turk.
Yeah.
That was the phone number. And then they actually legitimately bought a cell phone with that phone number. Kept it in the production studio. Yeah. People, fans would call it, and they would call the fans during the production of the show. Yeah.
Oh, if I knew that, I would have called. Oh, that's awesome.
Absolutely. They talked about this on Fake Doctor for Friends.
Yeah.
Like, there were so many times that their phone would ring, and when they were in the back during production, they would answer and chit-chat with fans during the production of episodes. Like, most of the time, we'd go to voicemail, but there'd be lucky time for you to answer the phone, and they'd be talking to fans.
Oh, that is so awesome. I love that.
They actually had a Super Bowl ad for How I Met Your Mother where you have Barney in the crowd holding up a sign that says, CBS, call Barney Stinson. And you had a number that you actually could call and get a recorded message from Barney.
Oh, that's great. I know Patrick O'Jokers. They did a whole thing. They did two different bits that had phone numbers on the screen.
Yeah.
And then if you call the phone number, you get the jingle from the show.
Yeah. Whose phone is ringing?
Not that one. There was two other. That's not a phone. That wasn't a phone number. That was a phone thing. Mm. But there was two of them. They put a legit phone number on the screen. And then if you call it, they'll get the jingle from the show on the wall. And it was actually really smart. I like that. Like, the thing they did, they purchased the number so that they didn't message anybody.
Yeah. I love it when they add stuff like that into different shows and movies and stuff. That's cool.
Yeah, I think it was when they were punishing James and they had they made up this whole like fake occupation for him and they put a phone number up and they made it look at each other like, let's call the number.
Yeah.
We called it and they just played the jingle you just heard in the show on the phone number. It was really cool. It was a really cool thing.
Nice.
The only time I've seen something like that was very interactive was when they brought out a 2012, that Roland Emmerich movie.
Yeah.
They actually had a site where you could actually go on to enter a lottery to get a ticket on one of the arcs from the movie.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. That is really cool, actually.
Yeah.
I love stuff like that. Yeah. I do love stuff like that.
Matrix Resurrections, which was not one of my favorite movies, but I think it was that movie. Somebody hands somebody else a business card and there's a QR code on it. If you take your phone, if you pause the movie and take your phone and scan the QR code, it takes you to a website that then has a deleted scene or like an outtakes reel or something.
Yeah. Wow, I didn't know that. I just recently watched that movie too. I just recently watched that too.
I think it was Matrix Resurrections. It was one of the big movies that came out over the last few months, and I think it was that one. Yeah.
That sounds like something
they add things like that in there.
As meta as that movie was, it would not surprise me if they threw that in.
Right.
It would not surprise me whatsoever.
It would fit.
The funny part is, I can now say that because last week, the last episode, I said I haven't seen the movie, and now I've seen it. So it's actually pretty funny how that worked out.
The PC version for Doom 3 had something like that. Where they had codes, or they had compartments that were locked with codes that you had to go to a website called Martian Buddy to get for the different compartments. Yeah.
Wow, that's interesting. Yeah. That's interesting. Yeah. Well, there you go. That's cool. I like that kind of stuff, though. I do love that kind of stuff. So more shows should do that, but like go the extra mile and give you a reason to call. Or like they said, they have a QR code that you can scan and get something extra. Like and, I love that kind of stuff.
And the last one that I'll put it here, Vacancy, that horror movie with Luke Wilson and Kate Beckinsale. They actually had a number you could call, and it would basically look like you're getting to the hotel in the movie.
Oh wow!
Movie, and they had nice little bits where they even did have the guy who played the hotel clerk and the main bad guy, Frank Whaley. Actually do lines as him basically, you know, they're kind of like thinly veiled deadly euphemisms while you hear screaming in the background.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
There you go. That works.
Yeah. That's that awesome. Works.
Yeah. All right. Well, that is where we're going to end our episode and minutes. Next week, we're going to continue on as we get on. We meet some characters. We have a random awesome cameo in our next episode. But that will be with James Anderson from She's All That Minute and Timeline Scavengers. So he'll be on next week's show to talk about all that. Eric, why don't you get your plugs in? Go for it.
All right. Well, the main plug for me is randomchatter.com. That's where we have a podcast network there. We cover primarily movies and television entertainment. We have a pretty big Star Wars presence there as well. We have a lot of podcasters that came from the old Forcecast podcast network. We also have quite a bit of a presence about the MCU, about DC content, some other science fiction stuff as well. Excuse me. So, I think if you head over to randomchatter.com, you're going to find all of the different podcasts on our network there. We've got a staff of, I don't know, I think we've got about 12 people at the moment. And then we also started on YouTube. Not as much of a focus, mainly for our live shows and stuff, but you do get to actually see us record for the main flagship shows, which is pretty cool. So if you go to randomchatter.com/YouTube, that'll take you to a link there and you can hit subscribe and get notified of new stuff. And that's where you're going to find me and my other co-hosts. And
I know,
you can find the Movie Chatter episode that you were on.
Yes, matter of fact, I have that episode linked on my main website, theblinkandsalishow.com. You can go there and get that link. Tim, by the way, was like a regular over on D5. He came over on Defy the Mighty Ducks with like a regular over there for a couple of seasons. Luke came on an episode too for Entertainment Apex. So like I've had other people, and Lizzie's been like over on Blake's House show a lot. So like I have a lot of people from the Random Chatter people on our shows.
Oh,
so
yeah.
It's really cool. But I will say the Blake's House show every single Friday, right after this, go listen to us. It's about a couple hours after this show drops, our show drops on Fridays. It's definitely a lot of fun. We've been doing it for close to a decade now, and we're having a lot of fun doing it every single week still. I am proud. I'm always proud to say we did not miss a week during the pandemic. We did not miss a week. We kept going strong despite everything going on, because that was our week one. It's like our hour and a half distraction every single week just to get on and do our show from the world. Like, it was nice to have that distraction during the pandemic, but we're still having a lot of fun over there. That being said, it's time to wrap things up. Thank you so much, Eric, as always, for coming on this show.
Oh, it was a pleasure. I loved it.
Yes, and we love having you on. Next week, I swear we'll be back. Till then, I'm Blake.
I'm Kyle.
And you've been listening to Clerks Minute Reboot.
You're saying he's still too fat to fly?
Noinch, smoking weed, doing coke, drinking beers, rolling baddies, smoking blunts, who smokes the blunts, rolling blunts and smoking blunts.